राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
Part of Switzerland, and we are not so good in learning languages, so I never managed it with the German, but somehow I have a little abilities with English, so let's hope it will work. So today is a very special day, because it's a festival day, and I think it's very obvious when we look at the altar. It's very, very, very colorful. It is the festival, we call that the festival of Holi. This festival, the festival of Holi, is coming like the beginning of spring. And in many temples in India, on that day, they will dress the deities in yellow. They will decorate all the temple with yellow, and they will bring a lot of new flowers, like we see on the extreme, on the side, those yellow flowers. In India, we call that mustard seeds. They are plants that give very beautiful yellow flowers, and you see them all over. So they bring all those yellow flowers. They take some new sprouts of flowers, of trees, and they bring everything to the deities on this festival. So there is a very deep meaning behind this festival. This is based on a story that happened very, very, very long ago. Like really hundreds of years ago. There was, at that time, one young boy. His name was Prahlad. And he was a saintly person. He was a saint. But his father was a big demon. And his father just could not tolerate his son to be a saint. So he just tried to stop him. He tried to influence him. You don't be a saintly person. It's not good for you. You should be a demon. I'm a demon. You should also be a demon. But somehow the son was just saintly and could not change. So after some time, the father became very angry and tried to kill his son. This is demoniac mentality. Although is so strong that one could even do harm to his own son. So this demoniac father had a sister, and her name was Holika. And she had received a blessing that she would never be touched by fire or never burned by fire. So when she saw her brother, the demoniac father, trying so hard to kill his son and not being able to do so, she said, I will help you. I will help you. I cannot be burned by fire, so I will take your son and I will enter the fire. And then I will not be burned because I have the blessings, and he will definitely be burned and everything will be alright. That was the plan of Horika, the sister of this demon. So she did so. She took the sun and she went into the fire, but somehow it did not work the way they thought. Actually, when the flame of the fire were gone, Horika was totally burned and the sun Prahlad was totally saved. So there is a reason why it was so, is because whatever benediction we receive in our lives, if we use them to do harm to others, if we use them to be heavy or to be bad toward others, this benediction is immediately removed. So that's what happened to Holika. So when we had this festival of Holi all over India, that's a day, not only a day where they bring flowers to the deities, but that's a day where they take colors. They take powder colors and they like to throw those colors to each other. And then usually they use red colors, and those red colors made like a smoke, like a clouds of red color. And these represent this fire. And inside this fire, everyone remembers Prahlad was protected by the Lord. And inside of these clouds of red dye that represent fire, everyone is reminded the Supreme Lord is there to protect every one of us. This is a very, very beautiful meaning of this festival, of having protection in our life. And everyone needs protection. Everyone is getting tough times in life. I was giving a program some days ago in Basel, and the owner of the program, I asked him, what should I speak about? He said, please, everyone is suffering so much. Please give some good advice, some practical advice that they can use in their lives. So I will come back a little bit later on this point of receiving protection from the Lord. But first I would like to tell you how this festival is celebrated right now in the village of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the village where Lord Krishna took birth. And in that area of Vrindavan, there are two small villages. One is Nandagram, which is the village of Lord Krishna. And there is one, it's called Vashana. And this is the village of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Lord Krishna. So there are those two villages that are actually quite close to each other. So on the day of Holi, the men, the pandit, the erudite, the priest of Nandagram, they come to Vashana, the town of the ladies, the town of Srimati Radharani. And they all go to the temple and they sit on a line. And then all the ladies from Vashana, from the village of Radharani, they come and they sit in front of the men. They have big drums for music. And they start to sing songs. So the men, which are on the side of Lord Krishna, they sing songs that glorify Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is so wonderful, he did this, he did that. And the ladies, they start to sing songs. You Krishna, he is not behaving properly, he is stealing butter, he is not always, he is sometimes lying. And like this, they are singing, they have those big drums, and they start to quarrel with each other. One group, the men group, is praising Lord Krishna, and the other group, the ladies, they say, "Oh Krishna, he don't know how to behave properly." And as the music goes and as the songs goes, they become more and more intense into this, and they start really quarreling with each other, and everything with songs, they quarrel with each other, and then they take out the dye, they take out the color powder. And they throw this powder to each other, and they continue singing, and that's a big display. That's very loving. That's done very lovingly. I mean, they quarrel, but it's done very lovingly. But after some times, the ladies, they go toward the men and they slap them. And the men do not reply. The men allow the woman to slap them. And actually, the men know already when they are leaving Nandagami to go to Vashana, they already know we will lose. They already know that. Therefore, they don't even protest against the ladies who come to give them a loving beating, loving slap. So this is how the festival is right nowadays going on in this particular area of Vrindavan, and it's very loving. It's very, very nice. So this signifies that Srimati Radharani, the consort of Lord Krishna, is always victorious. That means that her love is greater than the love of Lord Krishna. And therefore, on this particular time of Holi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show to everyone the love of Srimati Radharani is the highest love one can find. We will have in 1 week or so a big festival here for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I would like to speak now a little bit about this point of receiving protection from the Lord. To receive protection from Krishna, to receive protection from the Lord, we need to make a step toward Him. We need to take shelter. If you need protection from anyone, you need to approach the person and beg for their protections. Protection usually do not arrive directly. Like if you are in the street and someone attacks you, most probably you will need to scream very loud so that someone come and help you. Otherwise people might just look at you and say, yeah, maybe he did something wrong and he's getting back what he did wrong. We need to turn towards someone when we are in troubles, when we have difficulties. So in the same way, we need to turn toward the Lord when we have difficulties. And the Lord is the person who can provide the actual shelter, that can actually provide the real protection for all of us. This is not a fake protection. This is something very, very special. Sometimes ago, I was traveling by train. I always like to be dressed as a monk when I travel. And someone told me, yeah, you are believing in God because you need a shelter. And I say, yeah, that's totally true. That's exactly the reason why I'm worshipping the Lord. There are also obviously other reasons too, but that's right. But then I told the person, actually everyone needs a shelter. And now it's just depend on you. Where do you take your shelter? Are you taking shelter toward drugs, toward alcohol? Or is maybe your fridge becoming your shelter when you are in difficulties, that you just go open the fridge and devour everything that is in the fridge? So everyone needs shelter. Everyone goes through difficult time. Now we need to see which shelter is actually providing the true protection. Very often we will also try to take shelter in our own strengths, take shelter in our intelligence, take shelter in our beauty. All those are ways that we will try to grasp to when the time becomes difficult. But there, again, they are not going to give you a permanent shelter, a permanent protection. So one could say also, actually, I'm not so often in danger. I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm not so often, we are in Switzerland, I mean, it's a nice country, there are not so many bandits that can attack you, or so why do I really need to take shelter? Actually, everything looks okay. And I think if we observe more than on the physical level, but go on the level of our mind and the level of our emotions, we can see that we need a lot of protection, we need a lot of help. Maybe we could even come a little closer for the next two comers or later, that they can find a place to sit. The scriptures are explaining to us that in our hearts are some unwanted things. They are called the six enemies. They are there in our hearts in the form of greed, in the form of lust, in the form of illusion. And those are the enemies that we need most to take shelter of. This is the place where we need most to have protection. And we can see so many people become angry, so many people are quarreling, so many people are under tensions. And this is the place where we need actually the most protection. So by turning toward the Lord, our heart will become peaceful. Our mind will become clearer, and we will be able to discriminate how to actually behave properly, how to step over all those obstacles, all those difficulties that we have in life. There was once a saint. His name was Vishvamitra Muni. He meditated for 16,000 years. He was an accomplished yogi. He was very, very fixed in his meditation. But one day, he heard the tinkling of anchor bells. And this was a very beautiful lady from heaven who came close by. And just the sound was so sweet that Vishvamitra opened one eye. And when he saw the beauty of this lady, he thought, maybe I have meditated enough. Maybe I should do something else now. And he was brought out of his meditation, and he was actually, all the activities he had done for his purification, he was now ready to spoil everything for his own sense gratification. At the same time, we have the example of Haridas Thakur, who was not meditating for so many lifetimes or so many years. But in his meditation, he was taking shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. And the personification of the illusory potency came directly in front of him to tempt him. And Haridas Thakur gave her initiation. That means she was just conquered by the purity and the love he had in his heart. Why? What is the difference between those two saints? One was just living on his own strengths and doing things, with his own strengths. And the other sadhu was doing it while taking shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. At the Lord's lotus feet. And this make all the difference. We have not much power on our own. How can we deal with all those, this anger, this lust, all those things that are in the heart of every living entity? How much power do we have to control all those strong impulses? It's almost impossible. But when we take shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, it can give us all the power, all the knowledge, all the intelligence to actually deal with those inner enemies in a very beautiful way. I would like to tell you a very nice example that happened on this topic of taking shelter. We were in Italy, in Venezia, and it was the Carnival Day. Actually, almost this time of the year. And we had a big festival there, and around 100 and 200 monks were united, and we all went in Venezia in our own disguise. And we were chanting and singing, and everything was wonderful. But at the time, the rain came, and heavy rain, and it was very, very cold. So the devotees were continuing their singing, their dancing, but it was already a wait. And then we arrived in the Plaza San Marco, a big plaza, and there were a lot of loudspeakers, very, very big loudspeakers, and techno music, and people were drunken and were doing all type of nonsense around us. And the devotees started to become weaker and weaker and weaker and smaller and smaller and smaller. And this heavy sound vibration, we could not hear the singing anymore. And my spiritual master was chanting. He was leading the kirtan. And when he saw what was happening, he thought, "My God, Krishna, help us! Help us! Now we need you! How can we save the situation at this moment? How can we do?" Later he explained us what was going on in his heart. So he continued chanting, but while he was chanting, he was fully taking shelter at the Lord and begging for help. And then at the time he heard a voice in his heart saying, look there, go there, go there. So he watched, and there was a place where one could be protected from the rain. So he gave a sign to the devotees, the whole group went aside close to this place, and we were actually in front of some shops, and we were in front of walls, and those walls were reverberating, were echoing the sound of the kirtan. So suddenly the sound of our kirtan was becoming louder and louder and louder, and we were totally protected from the rain. And then a miracle happened. It was really amazing. The devotees started to become totally in ecstasy, totally in love of God. They were dancing. They were like lights dancing. Really beautiful feelings in their hearts. And people were just looking at that, and they just could not figure out what is going on here. But they were just attracted, and they just came and joined and started to dance with the devotees, and it was really amazing reciprocation. We see in one sense we were becoming weak, we were really in a trouble. And just by the fact of taking shelter, the Lord gave indication, just do this, just do that. And not only he gave us a shelter from rain, but he gave this love of God in the heart of all the devotees, so that it was like an explosion of bliss. It was just amazing experience. And I like to bring it in this point of taking shelter. Not only when we take shelter will we get protection, but we will be allowed to relish the highest type of bliss when we are taking shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. Like a bee go into a flower to get all the nectar from the flower. When the bee is in the flower eating the nectar, she's protected by the sun, protected by the wind. She's protected, but at the same time she's getting the nectar of the flower. So in the same way, when we take shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, not only we get protection, but we are allowed to relish the highest nectar, the divine spiritual nectar of love of God. So that should be enough to comment us, but in difficult moment, we should not try to take shelter on our own strengths or on our own intelligence or in drugs or in the TV. My God, TV is such a shelter for many, many people. That's, you forget your world and you just see a world which is wonderful and which gives you a lot of emotions into your heart for the boring life that not you but some others might live. So this is also a big false shelter, because when the movie is finished, you are back into your normal life. When your fridge is empty, you are again in front of your normal life. They are not real shelter. There is an example of taking shelter, and this is coming from the Mahabharata, which is a big scripture, which explains the story of Draupadi. I'm sure many of you have heard already this story. Draupadi was in a big assembly, and there was a game going on. And the game did not turn properly, that she was attacked by a person, and this person was trying to disrobe her, to make her naked in front of the whole assembly. And this is the worst you can do to a lady. Anyway, I don't need to develop too much on that. But as this was happening, she was just screaming, "My Lord Krishna, Krishna, please, please come save me, please come save me." But it took a long, long time until finally the Lord, actually at the last moment, when this evil man was taking away her sari, at that time the Lord appeared in the sky and provided her unlimited amount of sari. That the man was taking away kilos of sari material, and she was always dressed in sari. Then Draupadi, after that happened, she approached Lord Krishna, who was present in that time on earth, and she said, Why did you wait so long to help me?" And then Krishna said, "Yeah, you were calling my name, but in your mind you were appealing to the chief of the assembly. You were appealing to the king, to the responsible, and you were saying Krishna, but you were thinking, 'Oh, please, king, please help me.' And then you continued screaming Krishna, but you were thinking of your husband. He should come and help me. And only at the end, when you called Krishna and you put your arms in the sky and you had only me for shelter, at that time I came to help you." And this shows that to take shelter, it's maybe not the easiest things to do. That means we need to go deep into our heart. It should be an emotion. It should not be lip. It should not just be our voice asking for shelter. But our whole being should feel the necessity of having shelter. And really feeling, "I have no other place to go. I have no other shelter." Once Mahatma Gandhi had a quarrel with his wife, and he said, "You go out. I don't want to see you anymore in this house. I don't want to see you. I reject you. Don't come anymore in my house." A few hours later, was a knocking at the door. So Mahatma Gandhi went and opened the door, and he saw his wife. So he said, I told you you should not come back here." And the wife looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, I have nowhere else to go. You're my only shelter, please accept me back." And obviously Mahatma Gandhi invited her again. But this is the mood we approach the Lord to take shelter. With this understanding, I have tried so much to take shelter in other places, but I never really got the true shelter. It was never permanent. It was always temporary. So now I really approach you, my Lord. I have nowhere else to go. You are the only person that can provide me this true shelter. There is a very nice point that our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada was writing in his books. He was saying, as more as we progress on the spiritual journey, as more as we will take shelter. One could think it should be the opposite. As more as we progress, as stronger as we are, as less actually we need to take shelter. But the point is that as more as we become pure, as more as we progress, as more we understand how insignificant our own endeavor is in comparison to the mercy principle of the Lord. One of our acharya was saying that we are like small babies We are like small babies of 2-3 days old. We are lying on our back and we cannot do anything else than to cry. That's our position. So this saint was saying, this is our position. All our attempts to protect ourselves are just vain. The only hope that is there is the mercy of the Lord. That's our only real hope, our only real shelter. So, now we will change again the mood. We had the first entry in this lecture with the festival in Vashana, how this festival of holy is celebrated there. Then we had this deep practical point for our life about taking shelter, and please all think about that. All think in moments of difficulty, where do you get your shelter, how deep you should be calling for getting this shelter. Do this topic, please take it with you home after this lecture. And now I would like to take you for a very special journey. This is not a journey that we do very often. This is a very, very special journey. But because today is a festival day, there is a special mercy that we can take this journey. Because this journey is taking us to the spiritual world. And we will hear how holy is happening in the spiritual world. So, before we start the journey, we need to know a little bit where we are going, how things are going there. Like if you go for a journey to India, the first time you go there, you will read a book about how is it in India, how do they speak, what is the currency, and everything. You inform yourself before going there. So I need to tell you how is it, what is happening there, and how is things going in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is bliss, there is knowledge, and there is eternity. This is the three components of the spiritual energy. That means all the habitants of the spiritual world, they don't have, like us, a body and a soul. Like for us, there is the soul, our real entity, and there is the body around. That's easy to understand. In the spiritual world, that's only one. The body and the soul are only one. Nobody grows old, and everything is just made of love. Everything is just there as an exchange to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And this is actually the position of every living entity. Every living entity has this function or this intrinsic ability of giving pleasure to the Lord. All of us, that's the same. But in the spiritual world, it is done with a lot of beauty. And Krishna never grow old. He's always very attractive, young boy. Very, very beautiful. And all other living entities in the spiritual world are his part and parcels. And there are many exchanges. He has parents, he has friends, and with all of them there is loving exchange, different type of loving exchange. Like you don't have the same exchange with your wife like you will have with your mother or your father. So every living entity in the spiritual world can exchange love in different degrees and according to their own internal desires. So that's the setting of the scene. So on that day, last thing, important thing. Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when in the spiritual world he's acting, he's a cowboy. He's going with cows in the forest. He's living in a small village. And this is amazing. Nobody could ever just would never be able to invent that. That's just beyond conception. And why is that? Often when we hear about God, God is the all-powerful, almighty, the supreme controller, and that's true in one sense. But when we see God in that perspective, we are very afraid of God. we are very, yeah, very afraid that the love cannot flow as much as if his identity of being God is hidden. So in the spiritual world, our Lord, Sri Krishna, is there and ending the chaos. But when this festival comes, the father of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, said, for those few days of holy, you don't need to go out. You are free. You have holiday. Holiday for holy. That's very nice. And in this place, in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, there is a special personality. Her name is Purnamasi. And she is in charge to organize all the plays of Lord Krishna. If Krishna will control all the play, it will not be as exciting because he will know everything that will happen. So he gives full power to one person, Purnamasi, to organize all the plays so that he will not know what will come next, and there is full excitement for his pastimes. So Purnamasi, she told all the husbands, she said, now is holy, and all your wives should go to the forest and worship the God of spring, the God of love, the God of spring. And if they do that, you will all get amazing fortune, a lot of money, a lot of cows. So the men were, oh yeah, that's a very good idea. So they sent all their wives in the forest to do this worship of the love of God, the love of the God of spring. At that time, Krishna and his friends were also in the forest, and they were ready for a big play. They were dancing, they were singing, but suddenly they heard somebody else is also singing and dancing. Who are those persons? So Krishna, he has a very good friend. His name is Madhu Mangala. So he said to Madhu Mangala, you go and watch what is happening there. So Madhu Mangala went and hid behind the bush and looked, and he saw all the gopis, the cowgirl, were there, and they were singing and they were playing. And not only that, he saw that they had weapons. They had bow and arrow made of flowers. They had big syringes. Like you see, on the right side, the deity, which is in black, on his right hand, he has a big syringe in which they could make very, very fragrant liquids and colorful liquids. So Madhu Mangala look and see all those weapons. So he come back to Krishna and he says, oh my God, there are all the gopis there and they are so well armed. They have so many weapons and they have so many paraphernalia for worship. And the friend of Krishna says, hey, come on, Madhu Mangala, how can you praise the camp of the enemy? It's not fair. So Krishna said, Madhu Mangala, you go again and watch deeper what is their techniques. So Madhu Mangala went again and watched from behind the tree, and suddenly the gopis saw him. Say, hey, oh, Madhu Mangala, come here. So he was found, so he had to come out. And he said, why are you picking flowers? Huh? You should not pick flowers. This is not your garden. This garden belongs to my Krishna. You should not pick flowers. And the gopis said, but we want to worship the God of love. We want to worship the God of spring. Therefore, we take flowers. And Madhu Mangala said, my Krishna, he's the real love of God. Love of spring. He's the real God of love. You should worship him. Because Cupid, he's making everyone intoxicated. But my Krishna is making everyone intoxicated. But he also becomes intoxicated. My Krishna is highest. You should worship him, not this insignificant Cupid. And if you want, I will become your priest. Madhu Mangala is a priest. He knows how to do puja. So Madhu Mangala said, I can do the puja. I can do the ceremony when you worship my Krishna. The gopis said, oh, that's a very good idea. And they came around him and they took powders, liquid. They were like paste, and they started to apply all this paste on his face, And Madhumanga became scared and started to scream, Krishna, Krishna, save me, Krishna, please come, please come. They are trying to kill a Brahmana. So Krishna came with all the friends, and they were all armed with flower balls, that were balls made of flour, which had also colorful powders inside. And Krishna sent the first flower ball to the gopis, and they all had to disperse themselves. And then a big fight with color, with syringes, with liquid started. And as this battle of color started, Krishna took his flute and was playing very rhythmic songs that were like the drum of Cupid resounding all around. And for a good while, the battle was piercing and growing. But at a certain point, there was so much powder all around that they could not see each other anymore. So they had to let the powder come down, and then they saw that actually the boys had won the first battle of love. So they came aside, and Madhumanga said to Krishna, yeah, we won this time because Radharani was not there. But now Radharani will come, and now I'm very fearful that we will lose. And Krishna said, come on, come on, how can you be so afraid? Let's go and let's try again. So Madhumanga is changing his mind very easily. He said, okay, if I am with Krishna, then everything should go all right. So they went for the second battle. And at that time, as they were starting the battle, Srimati Radharani gave a very soft glance at Krishna. Actually, I forgot one very, very important part of the battle. And that was in the previous one. So if you agree, we make a third battle, and I tell you in the second what I let it in the first. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So, second round. When the gopis and the gopas came again for the new fight, they all started to fight with glances. The gopis sent very sharp glances at all the boys. Very, very sharp. And Krishna had a very special glance. That's a glance that makes tired. And he sent that glance to the gopi. And the gopi started to yawn, their eyes closed, their lips started to shiver, and they started to become very, very, very tired. And at that time, one gopi who did not get that glance came with a big syringe and gave a big blow of colors on Krishna, and then the fight started again with all the colors and the jewels. And I must tell you, they had big golden buckets which were full of saffron water, of anguru water, of sandalwood paste water. This very, very fragrant, very, very beautiful colors. And from those balls, they would fill up their syringes and give more. So that was the second ring. On the third battle, Srimati Radharani gave a very, very soft glance at Krishna. And this soft glance was really too much for Krishna. He just became very, very weak. And at that time, the gopis, they came all around Lord Krishna, and they were screaming, Gero, Gero, Maro, Maro. Gero, Gero means surround him, surround him. And Maro, Maro said, fight, fight against him, fight against him. So they all went close to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna was overwhelmed. He could not fight anymore. And then one gopi steal the flute of Krishna. Another gopi, what was the second? Oh. She took the jewel syringe of Krishna away from him. Another gopi wanted to take his upper shawl away, but then Radharani looked at her with a crooked glance, saying, no, let him disclose. It's enough if we take the flute and the syringe. And at that time, the gopis came close to Krishna, and they started to wipe his face to wipe away all the powder that was on the face of Lord Krishna. And then Srimati Radharani took, there was some betel nuts. That's very, very nice to chew. And she placed that in the mouth of Lord Krishna. And other gopis were there to fan the Lord with chamara. And Madhumangal was jumping and was saying, "We won the battle, we won the battle." Now the gopis are worshipping our God of love, our God of spring. This is very special. What I'm telling you now, it's really very, very, very special. It's a very special festival, and it's a very intimate part. But because it is part of our tradition, and because I think you are all such nice people, I think you deserve to do something like this. But please note that this is what is happening in the spiritual world. This is very, 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 very special. But we need to know, sometimes we need to hear what is happening in the spiritual world, how much love is exchanged in the spiritual world, so that we can get impetus, that we feel, I also want this real love. I also want this relationship, this close relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I hope it was okay. Please treasure what you have heard, that is very, very high topic. Please treasure that in the core of your heart. This was a very special gift on this day of holy. And yeah, I hope you all liked it. And I don't know if you have any questions or any comments. Yeah.
First of all, thanks Lord Prabhu for a very sweet lecture. One question I have, is it possible to take direct shelter onto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, or you should take shelter through the lotus feet of your spiritual master? Mm-hmm. And instead of crying out for the help of Lord Krishna, you cry out for the help of your spiritual master and at times. Mm-hmm.
That's better. Thank you for bringing this point. That's better, because we might feel the Lord is very far away from us. How can I take shelter? How can I call him? I don't know who he is. I don't know so much how he looks like, so how is it. But if we call for shelter to those who are close to the Lord, then it becomes easier. And thank you for saying that. I forgot to mention about that. We were hearing yesterday in Langenthal that the spiritual master has a very special position in this world. The Lord is full of compassion. And when this compassion becomes condensed, this compassion takes a form, appear in this world as the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is called Kripa Shakti Murti. He is the Murti, the form of the compassion of the Lord. And he is there really to help all living entities and to give them this shelter. There was once a story, also in the spiritual world, of Lord Krishna taking his dinner with Satyabhama. And suddenly, in the middle of the dinner, the Lord stood up and said, I have to go. And Satyabhama said, Why? What's happening? What's happening to you? And the Lord said, someone is calling for me. And Satyabhama said, come on, the whole world is calling for you. Why do you need to go now? They all the time call for you. And Lord Krishna said, yeah, but now they are calling me by calling Gurudev, Gurudev, Gurudev. So I have to go, because I promised I will be the form of the mercy, the form of compassion in this material world for all living entities. So this is a very, very good point to turn toward the devotees, to turn toward the spiritual master in moments of difficulty. And they can give us proper tools. They can give us knowledge. They can share their realization to us on how to overcome all those difficulties of life. And this is very, very precious source of shelter, to just to receive the knowledge on how to behave, how to act in a way that will bring us to our liberation, instead of acting in a way that is actually binding us in this material world. Thank you so much, Prabhu. You reminded me of a very important point I jumped over.
And those who have not the spiritual master,
they can turn
Prabhupada, not in a relation.
Yeah, that's a very good question also. For someone who will not have a spiritual master, they should turn towards sadhus, towards people who have knowledge, people who are actually practicing spiritual life and have knowledge and have realization in their hearts so that they can help.